Would you turn with me to 1 John chapter 4? I'm going to read verse 7 through 12. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. It's just like God to put something like this near the end of his book. I believe these are some of the most powerful words in God's book. I also believe that one of the fundamental problems that we have getting through this life on earth is realizing that God is love. I mean, even when things get sticky, I'm not talking about just the good times. God's love is unchanging. It's also a drawing love. We'll be singing that song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. I don't know about you, but my eyes kind of misted it up. I think about it in our life today, in our world, in the farming arena. Most crops are done probably no-till. But every now and then, the bottom plows or the turning plows are brought to the fields and it's broken ground. Sometimes the Lord does that to our heart. Sometimes the fallow ground just needs breaking up. I talked to my brother the other day from Coastal State Prison. He said, you know, Randy, I'm just getting to the point that I see how many failures I've made. I see now what this drugs has done in my life and how it's destroyed so much. And it's hard for me to face it. I said, but you are right on the verge of embracing the love of God, because you have a Redeemer. And to get to that, sometimes we have to have our heart broken. I want to talk to you about seeing God's heart today. Now, I know, you know, that we can't physically see God, physically. But if you don't see God, faith, experimentally in your heart, if you have no vision of his grace in your life, if you're not convinced that you are a sinner, you have not seen God. And I would say you're not even born again. What a profound God we have. Not only for what he's done for us, but what he does to us. I guarantee you, you know if somebody loves you. You might not can describe it. But when you're sitting here this morning, and you feel the love of God in your heart, that comes from God. A person apart from the Spirit, God has no affinity for God, even hates him. So what I want to try to deal with this morning in a few minutes is talk about seeing God's heart. And when you see God's heart, it's actually seeing God's love. First thing I want to say, and Tonight, I don't know what I even want to mention this. I'm going to talk about loving one another. But the first commandment becomes before the second, because we're to love God first. And to love God first, we got to know that He loved us before we can love Him. I believe that if we could get so excited and so convinced of God's love. Do you know that God loves you? How do you know that? I believe that if we could get there, life would never be boring. I mean, such a problem we have in our world today. We get more excited about a ball game than we do God. What a blessing to know that God loves us. And I'm not talking about just saying, we see here God is love. I'm not talking about God loves me or God loves you. Though that is true, what is most profound is that God is love. That's His nature. And what that means is, not only is He love, God is light, God is a spirit. That means that everything that happens to us has to come through God's love. And it's because He loves us. Now that's hard to take at times. I remember growing up, and I'm sure most of you do too. I had parents, they had their struggles. I mean, they're just like me. They were not perfect. Neither am I. And I mean, I took some whippings. Not near enough, but I took some. And I got angry with them at times, and I struggled with some of the things they were doing, but I'm going to tell you this, I never doubted they loved me. And the only way you're going to trust God is know that He loves you. You got to get behind your circumstances, get them out of the way, and put God in that. And you put a God that is love there, a God when you see God's heart in it. So that when you face trials and problems and heartbreak and disappointment and loss, you will say, I want to see God's in this, God's heart. I went over to Memorial the other day and had a prayer with Rachel. Riley wasn't there, and Gail and some of the family. I don't know what to say. I still don't. But we held out hands out there in that lobby, and we bowed before the holy God that loves us. And I remember, I don't know where to come from, God loves us. And I said one thing about it. I said this in my prayer, and I'll say that to you, and I've said it before. God loves Clint Hall more than they love Clint Hall, even his family. And so we got to give it to God like that. I want to try to say four things quickly about seeing the heart of God. Now I think we all understand what this is. It's seeing the workings of God in our life. And the thing is, the more you look for Him, the more you're going to see. My whole mindset is bringing this before the church, this theme of seeing God, is making us more conscious of God's doings in our life. Because God is doing something all the time. I remember just the other day, one day this week, I had this young guy, Colby, from Georgia Forestry, came over to my place to plow a fire break for me. I never met the guy before. He gets off and he does the work and he gets his loaded and he says, starts talking about his daddy over in Baxley. I'm not sitting there preaching to him. He's not even embracing that or anything like that. He says, I want you to know something. I want you to pray for my daddy. He said he was burned severely in an accident. He spent 2 weeks in the burn center in Augusta. And I started asking him about it, but he said, you know, God loves us. God was with him. He said any other day that he would have been there by himself. He's worked at this place for 30 years at the resin mill or plant somewhere in Baxley. And he was dealing with a machine that had an oven that was 350 degrees. And someone's glove got caught in it and pulled him in it. And just happened, just that day, he says there were two men there that normally wouldn't be there, but they were there. They got him out and got him to the hospital. He has a lot of hurting and healing to do. I just listen. I mean, you know, here's this guy telling me how God's heart came to view in a moment of tragedy. So the first thing I want you to understand with me when we think about seeing God's heart is how will God do it? Because God has to reveal it. You won't just make it up. And anytime you start talking about experiences with God in the Bible, you got to be careful. You got to make sure they go along with Scripture. I hear people say sometimes, well, I heard God's voice. I don't know about all that. Or I had this feeling, or I got to have this sign. Sometimes I think that stuff comes from the devil. But what I want you to know is when you really experience God, I want you to ask you this, to see His heart. Have you ever felt forgiven of a sin? Has anybody felt that in this room? Nobody? Well, then if you have and it means something to you, you have seen the heart of God. Look at Luke 7:47. Or Luke 7, I'll read some verses getting to that. Luke 7, we're talking about my first point is God. We see God's heart by experiencing God. God brings you and I to a crisis in our life to see our heart. Sometimes you have to break our heart to see His. Look at verse 36, I'm in Luke 7. I'm going to read some scriptures. I don't often do this, but I can't talk about this kind of love without reading what God says. And one of the Pharisees, verse 36 in Luke 7, desired him that he would eat with him. This is Jesus. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she saw that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. I want you to keep in mind, now this woman that was a sinner didn't accidentally happen up there. We talked the last week about seeing the hand of God. There is nothing chancy with God. No such thing as luck. And stood, this woman did, at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. That woman was worshiping God. The reason that woman was worshiping God is because she has understood who she was and what she did. She saw herself. You have to see yourself before you see the heart of God. See, here's the point. I think the problem I have. I have a problem loving some people because I look at what they do. I look at what they wear. I look at what they say. But I don't love them because I see all that and I don't see the person. It's almost like I'm not going to love them because there are sores on their body. I'm not going to love them because they don't agree with me. It's the same way with God. We don't see God's heart because things aren't going like we want it to. I think it ought to be like this. And the whole deal is our selfishness. Most of us don't see the heart of God because we're looking at ourselves. Take your finger and point it at the person next to you. And you're going to point at you. You know what you got there? You got three fingers pointing at you, back at you, don't you? That's my point. This woman, these people didn't like her. They said, she's a sinner. She don't need to be around Jesus. That's the people that need to be around Jesus. That's the people that you and I need to be around. Because we know better than the next one. Don't ever forget that. And if you feel the love of God, keep in mind that God loved you when you was a sinner. He did not wait till you get good. Because he knew it never would be. So he made us good through the righteousness of his beloved son. I want to go on with this woman though. And when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, that she is a sinner. See, they can't see God's heart. Because he's looking at this woman. You can't see God's heart because you're looking at your problems. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He said, Master, say on. Jesus said, all right, I want your attention. I want you to listen to me a minute. Is that how you feel? There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Jesus did, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Do you realize how much you've been forgiven? I mean, if you do, God has to reveal that to you, by the way. I cannot teach anybody that you're a sinner. This culture we live in is constantly saying sin is a hate speech. Don't tell anybody they're a sinner. Jesus came to die for sinners. And that's what he did. And we need to be like this woman, and we need to be willing to have our hearts broken and to realize what God has done for us. And that is the experiencing of God's forgiveness. You know what love is? I believe love is this: going out of your way to do something as God did it. Did you hear me? Going out of your way to do something as God did it. I remember picking my daughter Ashley up from a hotel room in Dahlonega, Georgia. I went up there. I didn't know what I was going to do or say. I mean, there's times in our life you don't know what God's doing and you don't know what you're supposed to do. Now, isn't it the truth? But when you're looking for God's love, I remember getting there and getting her in the truck. And I told her, I said, Ash, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know why I came here. I still remember her words. Well, Daddy, at least you care. And you cared enough to come up here and get me. Love is powerful. There's no more power than the love of God. But see, to really embrace this, we got to understand, secondly, I might not get through with everything I want to say to you, but I want you to know that God loves you. I want you to know that God is love. Because you don't need to get out of here today without realizing that God is love. And that you, in experiencing that love, you can deal with whatever you have to deal with because God is love. But it's also an expression when I'm seeing God's heart. You know, the Bible tells us that God, you can see God in various metaphors. One is nature. You can see God's heart in nature. If you're not walking around today looking at this beautiful created world and you can't see the heart of God, you must be blind. I mean, even the trees that are about to die, which is a figure of our own death, they get their most beauty right at the time they let go. Jesus says in Matthew 5, he says that he sends the rain on the just and the unjust, and the sunshine on the evil and the good. That's the love of God. I mean, you look at the white cotton, and the golden peanuts, and the blue sky, and the trees, and all of that God has put together. You go out and look at the stars in the sky and tell me that you can't see that we have a God of love that gives us his air to breathe and sends rain, which no man can make, to water his earth. But the greatest expression of God's love we see here in our text, don't we, back in 1 John, is Jesus. You see that, don't you? I want you to, because that's how you see the heart of God. You got to look at the cross. Don't ever get far from the cross. 1 John 4, I was going back there just for a second with you. Notice what it says. In verse 10, herein is love. You want to see it? You want to see the heart of God? Not that we love God. No, no. It's not about religion. Lots of people are religion, never seen the heart of God. But that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now that is God's expression. You know how he expressed his love? He sent his son. See, you got to know this about preaching. You're a good one. You helped me a lot in my ministry here. But the preacher may not have a message for you. I mean, sometimes, man, I feel pretty flat. I got to be honest with you. But you always have a message for the preacher. You know where it comes from? Your face, your expression. You can see it in your eyes. See, God gives us an expression of the cross. You ever doubt God's love? You look at the cross. God sent his son. Where did he send him from? Heaven. This proves that Jesus existed before he came to earth, right? And he sent his son to do what? To die for us, to be the propitiation. Now that's a big word, but what it means is that God's wrath has been satisfied or appeased. Do not tell me that our God is just a lovey-dovey God that just puts up with everything and winks at it and says, whatever you want, just ask me like you would Santa Claus. We have a God of wrath. We have a God that created a burning eternal hell, and lots of people will be there. But we have a God that has chosen a people for the foundation of the world. Don't let that bother you. Don't say that God is not fair. Be thankful He's not. Because if God was fair, all of us would be in hell eternally. But Jesus took God's wrath for us so that we don't ever have to take it. So that when you're going through situations and you lose a loved one, and you're sitting there with cancer and you can't get rid of it, and you can't get off the ventilator, or your loved one can't, don't ever think, well, God just doesn't love me. You look at the cross. What matters about trusting this kind of love is understanding that God knows all, God is love. That is profound, and that God is all-powerful, that He can do something about anything because He's over all, He's sovereign. Well, essential too, I wanted to say that seeing God's heart, when we see God's heart, it's essential that we see doctrine. All right, let me say this now. Because a lot of people I have heard have the idea, well, I don't really understand everything about predestination and election. And you know, I really don't care. All I want to know is that God loves me. And that's really all that matters. No, that's not all that matters. Now you can have doctrine and it can be sound and you won't have any love in you. God got on to churches, Jesus did in Revelation. Chapter 3, about that. But to really see the heart of God, you've got to understand why God did it. You've got to understand that Christ came and that He took your place on the cross. That He really went out of His way to love you and bring you to Him. You see, because His covenant of love, in Jeremiah 31:3, notice, you know it says that He loved us with an everlasting love. But that's not the end of the verse. He says that He draws us, or therefore, He says, therefore, has He drawn thee with loving kindness. See, the doctrine of God's grace is a profound foundation to seeing the heart of God. I don't know about you, when I think about election, predestination, I don't understand it all either, but I'm going to tell you this. I do know one thing. That's the only way I could get in. It's not about saying, well, Randy, can you do this, or have you done this? Do you know this? I mean, I'm like the man Jesus healed that was blind, and the people came to Him and said, Who did this? Or was he a sinner or not? And he says, I don't know. I don't know whose son this man was, but I do know this. I was blind, but now I see. I mean, how is it with you? I mean, how's your love life? No, I'm talking about with God. See? That's the matter. That's what matters. It's essential. That's the only way we can see the depth and the height and the breadth of a love that I can't describe and nobody else can. But when we see that we're down in the depth, how deep God's love is for us, where we were, where we have been, where we'd be without Him, man, that He sent His Son. That's what happened at Christmas. He sent down His love. Now just lastly, and briefly, I mean, we have an extra hour today. I'm trying to think. No, I'm kidding. Don't get alarmed. I want to just say briefly, seeing the heart of God, and I've talked about it, it's an experience that God does to you. Make that your Ebenezer. When you see God's heart in your life, He does it lots every day because He's a God of love. And then you understand that it's an expression. What is that? That's the cross. And then we see that it's essential that we understand what God says about his love. He doesn't just love us because we're lovable. He loves us because God decided to love us. And then not only that, he gives us his love. Don't worry about if you're not good enough. A lot of folks say, well, you know, I just can't submit my life to God. Believe this. I've heard people say this. And because if I do, then I'm going to have to be baptized. Or if I do, then I might have to go to Africa on a mission trip. What we're doing there is rejecting God's love. Because when we submit to him, he will enable us to do whatever he called us to do. But then lastly, you don't have to be a deep theologian. You don't have to get real churchy and all that to see the heart of God. My last point is just easy. It's easy. I mean, that's what Jesus said. No man has seen God in any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. You heard what Brenda McGee said. She saw the heart of God. Why? Because of a prayer. See, God uses people to show his heart. And you may be one of those. That's why it matters how we live our life. Look at 1 John 5:3. It's probably on the same page if you got your Bible still open. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. See what God's saying? Look, you know, God's commandments, they're not hard to deal with. You know why? Because we have the love of God in us. God dwells in you. See? It's not about saying, well, I don't know if I can do all this. It's not what you do. It's what Christ has done for you. You understand that? I mean, obedience comes easy when we see God's heart. The Song of Solomon tells us kind of how it is. He says, he saw Christ as an apple tree in the wood. In Song of Solomon 2, I think, verse 4. And he says, he's special. He's different. Do you see Jesus? Is he a treasure to you? Why? Because God has given you that affinity for him. So is that he says he's an apple tree of the wood and says, I went down and I sat under his shadow. He didn't say he went over and he got his life straight and he worked everything out. No, he sat down under the shadow, and his banner over me is love. God's got a banner over you. And here's the thing. God's love is never going to let you go. Don't try to run from him. Now, God will chasten you because he loves you. But he's not going to let you go. See, he's going to draw you because God has already prepared a place for you because he loves you. It's not about performance. It's about trusting in God's love and seeing his heart. One of the greatest assurance we have, and I hope you feel that, is right here in 1 John. That whole book is about assurance of our salvation. It's a great litmus test. But he says, we know that we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. That's what love does. I went to a man's house and met her one time when I was at the lake, Dewberry Edenfield. His wife had passed away. He was in this little house out in the country. I still remember this cold day. This is what love will do. I just went over to visit him. I walk in that house, and he's got strings from one ceiling to the wall over. He's got Christmas cards hanging on them. It's Christmas time of the year. You know, just folded, hanging on them. He's sitting there in his, on his recliner. And I said, Brother Dewberry, what have you got all this here for? I mean, the man, he's in his 90s. He starts crying. He said, I just can't believe people love me that much. He said, sometimes I just come in here and I just look at the expressions of love. You know, when you pick up your Bibles, what we ought to say is, I can't believe God loved me so much to give me a book like this. Well, when you look at this church or any church you attend, you'll say, I can't believe God loved me that much. Because you're looking at the heart of God. When you look at your children, your wife or your husband, you have them with you, you're looking at the heart of God. May the Lord bless us. I hope to do better tonight, especially on the challenge of loving one another. I don't know about you, I have a struggle with that. Maybe it's just because I'm getting a little clearer glimpse of the heart of God. Maybe you will too. It'd be good for us if our hearts could get broken again.